Okay, let's dive straight in. We've got this really interesting convergence here. Three quite distinct artists all featured in this one catalog we're looking at.
Right.
Livette Ballard, she does these powerful collages, mixed media work.
Yeah, very layered.
Then there's Tawny Chapman, and her photography is just breathtaking, really captures beauty.
Stunning work.
And Monica Ikegwu with these incredibly vivid hyper-realist paintings.
Just incredible detail.
So three different artists, different mediums. It
Yeah.
kind of sparks your curiosity immediately, you know?
It really does. And what's compelling, I think, is how this catalog pulls them together. Even though their approaches seem so different on the surface, they're all digging into this central resonant theme,
Which is a
well, the multifaceted nature of Black identity, but also, woven through with history
Yeah.
and really profound self-expression.
Exactly. And that's really the heart of our exploration today, isn't it?
I think so.
You know, you shared this catalog with us, and maybe something specific caught your eye, maybe Ballard's history stuff, or Chapman's portraits of kids, or Akegwu's super real figures.
Right. Could be anything.
But our goal today is to really kind of unpack the unique insights each one offers.
Get beneath the surface a bit.
Yeah, we want to understand not just what they're making, but how their artistic language, their style, feeds into these bigger cultural conversations happening right now.
So the big question maybe is how do Ballard, Chapman, and Ikegwu, each through their own lens, really engage with and illuminate the complexities of Black identity?
Good question. Where should we start? Maybe with Livette Ballard.
Let's do that. Her work feels so grounded in history.
It really does. He's a collage artist, as you said, and
Yeah.
she masterfully combines these like historical photos with paint, oil pastels, even shiny metallic foils sometimes.
Yeah, those foils add such an interesting texture.
And she puts it all on reclaimed wood or birch wood. That layering of materials, it really echoes the layering of history itself, doesn't it?
Precisely. And the catalog points this out. Her mixed media collages, they're about taking these historical, sociocultural challenges,
Right.
especially those faced by Black women, and kind of looking at them through a modern lens.
Recontextualizing them.
Exactly. She's building what she actually calls a visual lexicon.
A visual lexicon.
Interesting phrase.
Yeah, like a visual language. It's made up of these compiled, reimagined photos from different times, different places.
Okay.
And she uses it to explore the very essence of African American female self-identity. You know, certain poses might repeat, or the texture of old photos becomes part of that language.
You see that historical connection so clearly in the bus riders from 2020.
Oh, yeah, the Rosa Parks piece.
That portrait of Rosa Parks, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a commission for Time Magazine's 100 Women of the Year issue.
Which immediately anchors her work in this like major historical moment.
Definitely.
And think about this, just a few years later, 2023, time goes back to Ballard again.
Oh, right, for the Caste and Chaos collages.
Yeah.
Exactly. They ran with Isabel Wilkerson's editorial in the Division and Destiny issue, and Ballard was even on the cover of that issue.
Wow.
So that really underlines how her exploration of these historical themes is still incredibly powerful and relevant today.
Yeah, it's not just history for history's sake.
Not at all.
And it's not just those big commissions either. Looking through the catalog here,
Yeah.
pieces like If You Love Me, Ladylike, Thank Heaven, Cast Away,
We are the magic
We
makers.
Are the Magic Makers, yeah, and Demure. They really show the breadth of what she does. And what's striking is the variety of materials she uses. You know, solid birchwood panels that feel permanent,
Right, substantial.
but then also these like more fragile seeming wood slices or even reclaimed fence wood. Each one adds its own little story, its own texture.
And the catalog gives price points too, which is interesting. They range from maybe $1,000 up to around 15,000.
Yeah, something like that. Gives you a sense of the different scales and maybe the complexity involved in each piece.
It does.
Yeah.
And what's really insightful is learning about Ballard's personal connection to all this.
How so?
Well, she talks about growing up, spending summers on her family's farm in Virginia,
Right.
in the big house, she calls it, built by her ancestors. And she was surrounded by generations of family photos there.
Ah, so it's deep-rooted.
Very. That personal history clearly fuels her passion for visual storytelling, for, tracing the threads of her own lineage back through time.
It's like she's having a conversation with her family's past through the art.
That's a great way to put it, a visual dialogue.
And for anyone listening who wants to see this in person, her solo show, Livette Ballard, the people who could fly, is actually on view at Rowan University.
Oh, good to know. Until when?
Until May 2025, so there's plenty of time. And the catalog also lists, like, a whole bunch of her past exhibitions showing her career path.
Right, shows her trajectory.
So that historical lens is fascinating, but it provides a really interesting contrast to our next artist, Tawny Chapman.
Absolutely. Chapman pulls our focus right into the present, specifically into the beauty and diversity, the authenticity, really, of Black childhood.
Yes. Her series, As We Are, is just captivating.
It really is.
Her work, it's based in photography, right?
Yeah.
But she adds these incredible layers.
Yeah.
0.24 karat gold leaf, this luminous acrylic paint, even tiny semi-precious jewels sometimes.
It really transforms the photographs, doesn't it? Elevates them into something else.
Totally. It gives them this almost sacred feeling, like they're icons.
And that seems very intentional. What's so compelling about As We Are, and the catalog spells this out, is that it's meant as a deliberate act of reverence.
Reverence towards Blackness.
Towards Blackness, yes, yeah. And a way to illuminate the beauty inherent in Black childhood. She's capturing these moments of just pure bliss, joy, tenderness.
Life, freedom.
Exactly, freedom and just being. It's a conscious homage, a powerful one, to Black identities in their most sort of unburdened state.
And the titles themselves really drive that home. You look at the As We Are prints. Let me be filled with joy. Let me be meditative. Let me be precious.
Let me be laid back.
Yeah. They sound like affirmations, like little blessings for the kids in the pictures.
They really do. And the catalog mentions these are archival pigment prints, so they're made to last limited editions.
Right, with different sizes, different prices, maybe a few thousand unframed, up to around 4,500 frames, something in that range.
Yeah, that sounds about right for those prints.
But then you get into her mixed media approach.
And that's where that idea of the regality of Black youth she talks about really shines.
Regality, yeah. The gold leaf definitely helps there.
Oh, absolutely. Using materials like 24K gold, it inherently elevates the subjects, gives them this almost iconic status.
Mm.
And the catalog also mentions an influence from Byzantine art.
Really? How so?
Apparently, she intentionally elongates the figures sometimes and their clothing to create this sense of grandeur that kind of overwhelms the space.
Ah, okay. To make them really command attention.
Exactly. And it's also about celebrating, you know, the versatile styles and textures of natural Black hair. Treating it as a core part of Black beauty.
You see that grandeur in pieces like The Children Too Helped Us Grow. That one combines acrylic and that really striking gold leaf on the print.
And you notice the price point jumps significantly for those mixed media pieces.
Right, which makes sense given the extra layers, the materials, the process involved.
Definitely reflects the intensive work and the unique impact. And then you see other pieces like The Awakening Held High, or Indigo Isha.
Yeah.
And they give you glimpses into how her style has evolved, that ongoing dialogue she has between the photograph and the hand-applied elements.
It's a fascinating blend, and she's getting major recognition too, right? Like the Venice Biennale.
Yes. Her inclusion in the 2022 Venice Biennale and the Afrofuturist Manifesto, Blackness Reimagined exhibition, that was huge.
Placed her on a global stage.
Absolutely. And she has a solo exhibition coming up at the National Museum of Women in the Arts.
Wow, that's prestigious. When is that?
October 2025. So that really solidifies her place. And again, the catalog lists her past shows. You can see her reputation growing steadily.
Okay, so we've gone from Ballard's history to Chapman's focus on childhood and regality in the present, which brings us to Monica Ikegwu.
Right. And Ikegwu offers yet another powerful perspective, this time through hyper-realist portraiture.
Her technical skill is just, it's mind-blowing.
Isn't it?
The catalog calls it an unparalleled ability to breathe life into canvas through meticulous attention to detail. And that feels exactly right.
They feel so present.
So alive. Like you could almost talk to them. She captures not just what they look like, but their essence, their emotion, especially with the African-American youth she often paints.
And what stands out immediately is her focus on celebrating, like, contemporary Black style.
Yeah, the fashion, the aesthetics.
Exactly. It's a very deliberate way of acknowledging and really valuing those forms of self-expression that are current now.
And it's interesting, she talks about her intentions too, like she wants to actively challenge stereotypes.
So.
She wants people to look past quick judgments based on appearance, especially when they see Black youth represented, to see the person, not a stereotype.
That's powerful.
And for Black viewers specifically, she hopes her work creates the sense of connection, maybe pride, seeing familiar faces, familiar styles represented so beautifully.
And her process seems really interesting, too.
The collaboration part.
Yeah, that she works closely with her sitters, lets them choose their pose, their clothes.
It gives them agency, right, over their own image.
Completely. And while she often paints friends or family, the catalog notes she also deliberately seeks out African Americans with a wide range of skin tones.
Oh, that's important.
It really is. A conscious celebration of the diversity within the Black community.
And then those backgrounds, they're not just flat walls. They're these dramatic, textured spaces.
Often with colors that really pop against the subject.
Definitely.
Complementary hues, yeah.
Looking at specific paintings in the catalog, like Bright X Jaceon, that's a really striking one. Or Chukwuemeka 2, very contemplative.
Martha is quite intimate.
Yes. And Ring Eye is composed so uniquely. And then the Jamal Root paintings, the pair.
The diptych, yeah. Powerful.
And you notice most of these are big, like consistently large scale, maybe 48 by 36 inches.
Often, yeah. And that scale commands attention. You also see a pretty consistent price point for many of them, around $25,000.
Right, which really signals the value placed on these immersive, detailed canvases. Although Martha is smaller, isn't it?
It is. Maybe 20 by 20 and a lower price point. Perhaps a different way into her work.
And Ring Eye has those unusual dimensions, kind of tall and thin, creates a totally different feel.
It does. And like Chatmon, Ikegwu was also in that 2022 Venice Biennale show, the Afrofuturist Manifesto.
Okay, so both of them are in that. That's significant.
Very. Shows their contribution to contemporary Black art being recognized internationally. And Ikebu was also in the Culture, Hip Hop, and Contemporary Art exhibition that traveled around.
Ah, connecting her to that whole cultural movement, too.
Exactly. And she's got a solo show coming up as well at the Columbus Museum in 2026.
Another milestone. You can really see her trajectory taking off looking at her exhibition list.
Definitely a rising star.
So, okay, we've looked at Ballard, Chatmon, Ikegwu. This catalog brings them all together. What's the big picture here? What's the main takeaway for someone listening?
Well, I think the aha moment, maybe, is seeing how each artist uses their own tools, their own style.
Right, collage versus photography versus painting.
Exactly, how they use those distinct approaches to tackle these really crucial aspects of Black identity and representation.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Ballard digging into history, its weight, its lessons.
Mm-hmm.
You have Chatmon celebrating the present moment, the beauty, the kind of inherent worth of Black childhood.
That regality.
That regality, yes. And then Ikegwu captures this vibrant contemporary self-expression of Black youth today.
It's fascinating to see side by side how each one uses their specific artistic language, you know, the materials they pick, the techniques they master, who they choose to depict.
To ultimately challenge how we see things, right?
Yeah, to preserve stories, maybe, and just offer this profound celebration of Black lives. It really makes you think, which approach resonates most with me? And why?
Mm-hmm. And that's why this catalog, which formed the basis for our whole deep dive today, is so valuable. It's like a doorway into this incredibly dynamic world of contemporary Black art.
And the important conversations these artists are starting.
Absolutely.
Which kind of leads to a final thought, maybe something for listeners to chew on.
Okay.
What is the power of visual art? How does it actually shape our understanding, maybe even build empathy between different people, different experiences?
That's the core question, isn't it? Thinking about the really intentional choices Ballard, Chatmon, and Ikegwu make.
The subjects, the materials, the techniques.
Right. How do all those choices add up to create a richer, maybe more nuanced understanding of Black experiences than we had before?
And it makes you wonder, what other stories, what other perspectives are out there waiting in the art all around us, waiting to be seen?